So let me see by show of hands, how many of you have had a pet at some point in your lifetime? All right, keep your hands up if you've lost that pet at some point. All right, it's tough. Growing up, we had dogs. My dad loved dogs. He instilled that in all of us. And at one point, we adopted, it was a golden retriever through a rescue program. She was not, just a little skittish. You could tell something had happened to her in her prior life. Her name was Taffy, and we loved this dog. And we took her in, but the problem was, if we opened up the gate, she would run, and she would bolt. And she'd usually come back, so it was really no big deal. But one day, she got out, and she didn't come back. And the sun went down that night, and the dog was nowhere to be found. And the next day, we were looking for the dog, thinking, oh, she'll be here in the morning. And she was nowhere to be found. And I remember one time seeing my dad in the backyard, just kind of looking out over the backyard, and I could tell that he was pretty sad because our dog hadn't come back. We still had a black lab, but our golden retriever, Taffy, was missing for several days. And that was pretty tough, right, to have your dog gone. Right, dogs show you unconditional love. Someone once told me it's a vision of how our Father loves us, right? Just no matter what happens, they love us right back. So fast forward a few days later, and I'm in a tennis match at Bitsy Grant. Now, Bitsy Grant was about three and a half miles from our house. And if any of you ever grew up playing tennis or play tennis now, there's usually a pretty big food spread at a tennis match. And out of the creek comes this nasty dog, covered in mud, and comes up to our tennis match and tries to get into our food. And all the moms are going to shoo this dog away. And then my mom realizes it's our dog. It's been living who knows where for 3 days, was hungry. And just think of all the tennis courts at Bitsy Grant, of all the tables of food, this dog came up to our table. And we rejoiced when we found that dog. And we didn't think we would find her again. And that was definitely not where we thought we'd find her. I remember coming off the tennis court in the middle of my match. I was like, it's my dog. And we brought the dog home, and we cleaned her up, and she lived with us the rest of our, you know, the rest of her, what we'd say, long life, but unfortunately, no dog's life is long enough. But we rejoiced when we found that dog. And I thought of that as I was preparing this morning, when we think about the parable of the lost sheep. The past few weeks here at Leadership Ministries, we've been discussing the parables of Jesus. And on the surface, many of the parables seem very simple, right? And then a lot of times they're also memorable stories, which is great. And he uses imagery to teach a lesson. And I think it's safe to say Jesus was a clever teacher, right? Because he kind of wove these stories in there. And he'd use imagery to appeal to a lot of the people in the crowd. But also, he was kind of, there was a jab at the Pharisees with a lot of these, but it was done in a very subtle way to kind of keep them out of trouble, at least in my mind. And if you, a lot of the scholars, when they talk about the parables, they'll say, hey, they seem really simple, but they're actually very deep, and they're meant to provoke the imagination, to really think about, you know, everything that's going on. But Jesus had a single focus with his parables, and that was to deliver the message of the kingdom of God. And so last week, we looked at the heart of the man. And this week, men, I want everybody to open up their Bibles to Matthew 18. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. I appreciated Colin White's humility when he pulled his glasses out when he was up here last time, and unfortunately, I have to do the same. So we're here, Matthew 18, starting on verse 12. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth. He is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of those little ones should be lost. So Jesus used this parable to provoke thought for the crowd. And I like how he started, right? He started off with like, what do you think? Right, he was very matter of fact. Right? He just said, well, what do you think? And so let's just kind of picture the scene here. Jesus is talking to a huge crowd of people, okay? And we know from Luke's recollection of this that the crowd was full of religious leaders and the scribes and the Pharisees, but also at least what they referred to as the sinners and the tax collectors. And in fact, let's also just like, I think for context, let's read Luke's version of this parable as well, because I think it helps add some color. So if you will turn with me to Luke 15, and I'm going to start on verse 1. So Luke 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and he says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, Jesus was very intentional when he talked about the shepherd. And he did this because being a shepherd was a very common occupation during that time. It's safe to say everyone in that audience either knew a shepherd or was a shepherd at some point. And so this was very intentional to use the term of the shepherd, right? And he starts off and says, if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not go after that one and leave the 99? Now, I did a little research here because there's this common belief that sheep are stupid. And actually, if you study sheep and you read about them, they have a very complex brain and they're thought to be very intelligent animals. But they're also thought to be completely helpless. And that is why they need a shepherd. Because when they are attacked, they're unable to defend themselves. Now, who are the lost sheep? Because I think we know that Jesus wasn't coming here to actually talk about sheep. He was not giving a sermon on animals. He's talking about us. The lost sheep, that's someone that has sinned and probably now feels excluded and disconnected from God. They've stepped away. They're not with God anymore. And it is very safe to say that audience was full of many lost sheep. The sinners and the tax collectors, they probably felt like lost sheep. The Pharisees, many of them were lost sheep. They didn't believe it. They thought they were better than everybody else. But Jesus welcomed the sinners, right? He gave them mercy, and he welcomed them back with open arms. And men, we are all lost sheep at some time. Isaiah 53:6 says this, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way." But then we also read in John 10:11 that Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And so Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was his message. He came for the sinners, not the righteous. That's what we're learning here in this parable. And this upset the Pharisees. And we know it upset them because we read in the beginning of Luke's recollection of this, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." I think it's interesting that he says, "eats with them." Because it's one thing to talk to somebody. We talk to people all the time. But when you eat with somebody, you've made a very intentional decision to spend more time with them. Eating with them is a much more intentional act. It's much more intimate. And so they weren't just upset that Jesus was talking to them, but he had invited them into the home to eat with them. And quite frankly, they probably view these people as not clean, like physically not clean. And so why would you eat with someone? And by the way, you know, they weren't washing their hands before they ate. They're using their hands. They're sharing stuff. They're tearing bread. They're giving it to each other. So the idea of inviting these people into your home to eat with them was just something they couldn't get their arms around. And sadly, the Pharisees were very critical of this, right? That Jesus ate with them when they really should have been rejoicing because he was walking them back into God's love with open arms. So let's get back to the lost sheep. Who are the lost sheep? It's me. It's you. It's all of us in this room, probably at some point in our lives. It's the men online that are watching this. There might be a man watching today and they feel like a lost sheep. And this story is about what it's like to be lost and how our Father God wants us back. And if you feel lost today, if you feel like you have stepped away, you just need to know that our Father in heaven welcomes you back. Because sometimes we do wander off from God, right? When a sheep wanders off, frequently they don't look up and run off. What happens is they take one step, and then one little step, and then one little step. And the next thing you know, they're not with everybody else. And that's what happens to us, right? Frequently when we step away from God, I don't think it happens because we go from, you know, worship with him to committing the most atrocious sin. Typically what happens is it's one little step and one little step, and they're so small we don't even notice until one day we look up and everything around us has changed. And we're not talking to the same men, and we're making excuses to why we can't come to our men's group, and we're not reading our scripture in the morning. And it's hard to come back. But the message today is God rejoices in you coming back, and he wants you to come back. So I have this bookshelf in my office at home. It's full of books. My father gives me a hard time because he always says I haven't read them all. And he's right. I haven't. But I've read most parts of most of them. So I'll stick with that because I think it's pretty good. But I have on one side, I have a bunch of devotionals. And this is not to pat myself on the back and say that I'm really good at my morning quiet time, because I'm not. And I miss it all the time. But when I do remember to do it, it really makes my day better. And so I grabbed a book the other day that I had, honestly, I didn't even know where it came from or what it was about. And it was interesting because a friend of mine had asked me to pray for him. He's going through some tough times at work. And so I grabbed this devotional book, and I just opened it up and I read it. And I was like, where did this book even come from? And I look at it, and it was from my friend 15 years ago. So this thing about, like I don't think that was coincidence. So I've stayed in this book lately. It's called Thoughts from the Diary of a Desperate Man. And I want to read one of the devotions I read the other day. It's titled Worth of the Individual. And it says, Luke 15:7, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And then the author writes this. I'm just going to read part of it. The Judeo-Christian religion stands in sharp contrast with all other religions in regards to the worth of the individual. Created in the image of God and redeemed at the price of his Son, people are eternal and therefore of infinite worth. Jesus did not die for institutions, but for people. He came to seek and save the lost. So just as a shepherd is concerned about the one sheep that wanders off, our Father in heaven is concerned about each one of us when we wander off. And so here's the question I want to ask each of you today and the men online. How does this make a man a better leader? A better leader in our marriage, in our family, in our home, in our personal relationships, in our workplace? Because men, we are expected to be leaders. And that is a challenge that we should accept and step up to. And we're here, I mean, we learned before I even got started, as a reminder, we're here to learn from the model of leadership that was set to us by Jesus Christ. And so as Christian leaders, this is what I think we're called to do. When we see a man stray off, we should go get him. We should pull him back in. If we see someone wander off, like that one sheep, then our responsibility as a Christian leader, just like the responsibility of that shepherd out in the field, is to go find that one man and bring him back. And when there are those men that have veered off from the right path, and they have found their way back, or we've brought them back, we should show them forgiveness. Because our Father has forgiven us for our sins. And it's not easy to find your way back. I don't know if any of y'all have wandered off before, but I think men are also stubborn. And finding your way back requires some humility. And so when those men come back, we should rejoice and be thankful and celebrate that. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here together. We lift up our brother Dave and ask that you just put his healing hand on him and give comfort to his family. There are men out there that are lost. They have wandered off like the sheep in the hills. Give us the courage to go bring them back, to be vulnerable with them, and to share the love of our Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy your time at your table.